Good morning, everyone. Let's do the Bible reading. The law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. Otherwise, would they not have stopped being offered? For the worshippers would have been cleansed once and for all, and would no longer have felt guilt for their sins. But those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sins. It is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings, you were not pleased." Then I said, "Here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, my God." First, he said, "Sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, though they were offered in accordance with the law." Then he said, "Here I am. I have come to do your will." He sets aside the first to establish the second. And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when this priest has offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. And since that time, he wants for his enemies to be made his footstool. For by one sacrifice he had made perfect forever those who were being made holy. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First, he says, "This is the covenant I will make with them. And after that time, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts and I will write them on their minds." Then he adds, "Their sins and lawlessness acts I will remember no more." And where there have been forgiveness, and where they have been forgiven, sacrifices for sin is no longer necessary. This is the word of the Lord.
It's good to be with you this morning, folks. I don't think I said it before, but my name is Scott. Glad to be with you, wherever you've come from this morning to be with us. And it's been great to have the Purdies with us, isn't it? Malcolm, Ainsley, Elsie, June, Calvin, Hugo. It's great to have them here. We love them. We love what they're doing. We love being part of what they're doing. I love that as a church we have a partnership with them. But maybe Malcolm Ainsley, you might want to stick your fingers in your ears here. But is Christian mission, is sending Christian missionaries to other cultures, is that the right thing for us to be getting behind? Or is it a little bit outdated these days? Now, the world has moved on from that kind of thing, and hey, don't missionaries have a bit of a bad track record about going in and upsetting cultures and doing things that in the long run aren't actually that good? Should we really be, I mean, we know we just had this nice little time with them there, but should we be really doing this, partnering with Malcolm Ainsley, sending them back so they can keep doing this? We're in church, so you know the answer is supposed to be yes, right? Like, you know that, but questions like this are being asked more and more in our world, in our society. And perhaps some of us are wondering that same kind of thing too. And it's not that we think that the Purdies are bad or they want to go and hurt people or anything like that. But what if we just didn't send missionaries but sent aid workers or builders and plumbers, these kind of folks? What if we sent them over to the poorer parts of the world? Could actually that be what's needed? Could that be a better idea? Not so much the Christian missionaries. And you know, even if we really wanted to do evangelism, why don't we just focus on that here in, you know, Para Hills and Ingle Farm and Salisbury and around? There's so much work to be done in our own backyard. Why do we have to go and bother the people over in Chile? Now, there's a lot I'd like to say to these questions. I think they're really good questions. I think there's some really good answers to them as well. But today, rather than just hear me ramble, we're going to get into that passage that Jaff just read to us from Hebrews chapter 10. And I want us to see from this passage why we ought to get behind the Purdies, why we need to keep partnering with them, and not just them, but Christian missionaries in general, why sending and supporting them is still so vital today. So that's what I want us to get to by the end. Let's get into it then. Now, I should say I've intended not to go for too long today, so that's going to make you happy after we had a longer interview. But earlier in Hebrews, it's been talking lots about the Old Testament and what's happened in the Old Testament and the sacrifices that people used to make in the Old Testament. They made these sacrifices because the law, which came from God in the Old Testament, told them to make those sacrifices. But you probably notice in our first four verses here, it said something amazing. Right? It said that the law, these sacrifices that are made under the law, they're not the main game. What does it say? They're a shadow. They're pointing to something better. Just take a look at verse 1 again. It says, the law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming. The law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming. When I was a kid, I played footy. I was probably mediocre at best, but I loved it. It was really fun. You had to go to training on Tuesdays and Thursdays after school, but then you got to play on the Saturday. And can I be honest with you, no one really liked training. Our coach, Ronnie Morrison, made us run so far every training. And you do the same drills over and over again. You'd run the same plays time and time again. Nobody joined the footy team because they wanted to do the training, right? Everyone was looking forward to Saturday, to game day, to the real thing. But the training got you ready for the game. And that's really the point here in the Bible, the point that it's making about the law. The law and the sacrifices are not the good things. They're not the best thing. And we know they're not because they don't really work. It says there that people make these sacrifices over and over. Verse 1, they're repeated endlessly year after year, and yet no one is made perfect by them. Or in verse 2, they don't cleanse people. They don't stop people from feeling guilty about their sin. Or in verse 4, because in verse 4, the sacrifices don't actually deal with sin. They don't take sin away. The law and the sacrifices are not the best thing. They're not the good thing. They're like the footy training. They're the shadow. You need the training to get you ready for the game. That's the law. That's what the sacrifices in the Old Testament are. They're the shadow. They get us ready for the good thing that is to come. And a little bit further on in Hebrews 10, we're going to get there in a moment, but we will see, probably no surprises here, the good thing that is to come is Jesus. But let me just make a quick point here about the Old Testament. Because Hebrews is helping us see how we should read the Old Testament. I mean, the Old Testament takes up a lot of space in your Bible, right? The majority of the Bible is Old Testament. And yet it's not the main thing. It's a shadow pointing to a better reality, the training getting us ready for game day. So when you read the Old Testament, friends, don't try and read it and live by it completely. Don't aim to please God by trying to obey all the rules and doing all the sacrifices and living as if you are under that covenant, because it's not the good thing, it's the shadow. And I reckon most of us today here, we understand that. We get that. But the other side of that same coin is that we should not ignore the Old Testament, because it gets us ready for the real thing. Because it's the shadow that points us to a better reality. So friends, for you, knowing the Old Testament and understanding it, that actually makes you ready to understand Jesus. Knowing the Old Testament helps us to know who Jesus really is and why he does the things that he does. So don't ignore the Old Testament, friends. You'll notice if you've been around for a little while here at church, we tend to have four main series, preaching series that we go through. One of those each year, we'll make sure it's on the Old Testament because we want to get into it. In your own devotion times, can I recommend you plan to read the Old Testament, get familiar with it. And as you do, remember how to read it, right? It's not, you don't just read it and think, well, that applies to me. No, no, no. We read it in a way that helps us see that it's all about Jesus. As we read the Old Testament, ask, how is this helping me get to know Jesus? How is this getting me ready to meet Jesus? Because the Old Testament is ultimately about him. The law is the shadow, but Jesus is the reality. Don't ignore the Old Testament, friends, in your own life. But if we get back into the passage, I want us to see, if we keep going, we're going to see why Jesus is better. See, the sacrifices in the Old Testament, they didn't work. They didn't make sins go away. They didn't make people right. But Jesus is better because he makes us holy. See, the Old Testament is actually about more than laws and sacrifices. It's about obedience. And you can see this in verses 5 to 7. It's a quote. Verses 5 to 7 are a quote from the Old Testament. They're pointing us back to the Psalms. And it says there, I'll read it out for you, verse 5, "Sacrifice and offering you didn't desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings you weren't pleased. Then I said, here I am, it's written about me in the scroll, I've come to do your will, my God." See, in the Old Testament, even in the Old Testament, sacrifices are not the big thing. What is God desiring? Obedience, right? Someone to come and do his will. And Jesus is the one who does this. The start of verse 5 tells us this is about Jesus. Jesus is the one who does God's will, who obeys God. And he does that even to the point of becoming the once for all sacrifice. So look at verse 10. And by that will, by God's plan that Jesus obeyed, by that will we've been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Now, holiness is a bit of a strange word, isn't it? But it means being right before God. It's measuring up to God's standards, being fit, and it's so that's appropriate for you to step before God. And it says that holiness comes to us through the sacrifice of Jesus. Now, we've already seen that the Old Testament sacrifices didn't work, yeah? They didn't make anyone holy, but Jesus does. Look at verse 14. "For by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy." We've already seen that the Old Testament sacrifices didn't take sins away. But look at verse 17, because there it tells us Jesus does. Verse 17, "Their sins," God says, "their sins and lawless acts I'll remember no more. And where these have been forgiven, sacrifice for sin is no longer necessary." See, what the Old Testament priests and sacrifices couldn't do, Jesus does do. And you see this difference really clearly in the posture of the priests. What are the priests doing in verse 11? Have a look at verse 11. What are the priests doing? They're standing, right? But what is Jesus doing in verse 12? Well, he's sitting. I've never even thought about that difference, but that makes a huge impact. Some of you may have heard me say this before, but my parents were small business owners. They ran some holiday cabins in New South Wales, and this kept them busy. In fact, most people, if you've ever owned a small business, you'll know owning a small business is not a 9-to-5 job, right? So Mum and Dad, they were always on call at any time of the day if any guests had some needs. There were always cabins to clean and get ready for new guests. There were always grounds to keep neat and tidy. There was always curtains to mend or bathrooms to re-grout. And then you get to the end of the day, but still the work isn't done, right? There'd be books to balance, bed sheets to fold up and get ready. There'd be calls to make. But you could always tell when Mum and Dad had finished work, because that was the point where they sat down on the couch and they put their feet up. That meant the day's work is over. Nothing more to do. Friends, that's why the Old Testament priests keep standing, because their work is never done. Each time they make a sacrifice, it doesn't make anyone holy, so they've got to stand and keep doing it again and again and again. But Jesus, he sits because his work is done. He sacrifices once and it works, makes us holy, ready to worship our God, now measuring up to the standards that God has for us. So you see the point, right? Jesus is better because he makes us holy. This is where I want to wind back to where we started. Why should we bother sending Christian missionaries? Why should we partner with the Purdy family or anyone like them? Think about this for a moment then. All across the world, in many different and varied ways, how do people try and make themselves acceptable? The right kind of people, acceptable to their God or gods? It's by doing stuff, isn't it? By praying repeatedly at the right times of the day. And not just doing that once, but doing it again and again and again. By going to temple to serve and worship your God there. And doing that week after week after week. Doing rituals or chanting or whatever it might be, but doing it over and over and over. And it sounds a lot like the Old Testament offerings, right? They're made day after day after day. It's constant and on repeat. Pip is my wife. My wife and I, we lived in Sydney for 4 years while I studied at Bible College. I'd recommend studying at Bible College. If you can avoid Sydney, that's all the better for you, though. Our Bible College, it was near part of Sydney where there was a big main street, had lots of restaurants, and especially Thai restaurants. So you'd have a Thai restaurant, then an Indian restaurant, and then a Thai restaurant, and then a Greek restaurant, then a Thai restaurant all the way down the street. It was incredible. But out the front of a lot of these restaurants, you'd walk up and you'd see often there were these little things that people would put out with food offerings in them. And each day there'd be a fresh new lot going in there. Again and again and again. I should be clear here. I'm not saying this to pay out on other faith or pay out on people who hold to these faiths. Many of these folks hold fast to their practices, and I don't want to belittle them right now. Here's the point I want to make. All across the world, right, there are all sorts of religions and people who have forms of spirituality. And they have this in common. They repeat things day by day, over and over, again and again, just like the Israelites repeating things in the Old Testament. And they do this because this is how they're convinced they need to become acceptable, to be the right people, to be acceptable to their God. They do and do and do and do. And even in Australia, I think this is the main form of spirituality. We don't often actually call it spirituality. We might not be thinking about any gods as we do it, but we have this idea of being the right person, the good person, the acceptable person. And what does it involve? It's doing the right kind of stuff, being the right kind of people, believing in the right kind of things, and not just doing this once or twice, but constantly over and over and over. You see, the world is caught up in being acceptable by doing things constantly, repeatedly, day after day, like the Old Testament sacrifices, but it's a trap, friends. Because God says, none of that makes us holy or perfect or ready to meet any God. Only one thing makes us holy, perfect, and ready to meet our God. Only Jesus. And this is why we're committed to the Purdys. This is why we're committed to our mission partners. And even this is why we're committed to being on mission in our own lives. Because no one else and nothing else can offer what Jesus does. No one else can lift that burden from people's lives of having to do, 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 do. Because with Jesus, it's been done, 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 done. No one else and nothing else can guarantee what Jesus does. Because with Jesus, my holiness is based on his perfect obedience, not on my hit and miss obedience. So this is why we love partnering with the Purdys. And this is why I want to encourage us to keep getting behind them. Because they go, we've heard from them, they go so that more people might know Jesus. so that more people might be freed from having to endlessly do things that can never actually make them right. But they go with the message of Jesus so that in Jesus people can be freed from this. They can be freed from having to do and find the one who's done it all for them to make them right. So yes, it's great to have the Purdy's with us, isn't it? And we want to enjoy this. We're going to have lunch afterwards. It'd be great. But really, and take this in a good way, guys, that the best thing we want is for them not to be here in some ways, right? We want them to be back over there. We want them to be encouraged by their time here, yes, but sent by us and constantly in partnership with us as we pray for them and as we give to them from what God has given to us so they can keep doing this work. Not because there's something special about them, but because they bear this message of Jesus, the one who can free us from constantly having to repeatedly do stuff to try and make ourselves acceptable. By Jesus, we're given holiness based on what he has done. A great piece of news and something I'm going to praise and thank God for now. Let's pray. Our Lord and Father in heaven, we thank you that Jesus does what the Old Testament priest could never do, that he makes us holy by his once for all sacrifice for sins. Thank you that we don't have to do lots to try and earn your merit or approval. Thanks that Jesus has done it all. So please be with Malcolm and Ainsley and help them hold this true. We pray that that would be something that continues to inspire, encourage, and keep them going on the mission field. We pray too for ourselves that this would never be far from our minds, so that we might partner well with Malcolm and Ainsley, so that we ourselves might be on about your mission in this world, of people being freed from having to do because Jesus has done it all for us. We praise you, our God, for Jesus. Amen.